Well, hey, everybody. I guess I actually haven't said this yet. Run out of time to say this. Happy New Year. Good to be with you. My name is Chris Pavla. I'm the senior pastor here at St. Mark. And yeah, just really excited to be with you guys. It's a new year, and we're kicking off a new sermon series today called Shape. And we're going to be talking to you about getting in shape. And I don't mean like, let's all get a membership at Planet Fitness, because by the way, I was there this week and it is really full. That's not the kind of in shape we're talking about. We're talking about you living out and discovering who it is that God has made you to be, and living a life in his purpose. And that's really what the series is about. The reason we call it SHAPE is this is like an acronym, right? So it's an acronym of who you are and who you were made to be. The idea that you have spiritual gifts, you have hearts, like things that, the things that you care about, the things that you're passionate about. You have abilities that are unique to you. There's things that you can do where everyone looks at you and is like, oh my goodness, you're so good at the thing. How do you do? I can't do, you know, and then, personality, there's a distinct like disposition you have and a makeup, and then experiences that nobody has lived your lived experience. It's unique to you. And when all of these things are taken together, it's your shape and it's who you are. And there is nobody like you on the planet. There's nobody like you who was or will be that is exactly like you. You are, and who you are is unique, as you know, just like the snow this morning, right? There's no two snowflakes alike. None of you are the same. And that's an amazing thing. Maybe this goes without saying, but we believe you're not an accident. We believe you're not just the happenstance of a collision out of nothing and molecules and things slamming together, that you're not a mistake. You're here, and there's a reason for you and for you being here even right now in this time. But that's this idea of a shape. And this idea is all throughout scripture, but probably like the cleanest and best example of a scripture that talks about the fact that you're made with a distinct identity, and that you're not a mistake and you're not an accident, comes from this book called Ephesians. It's written by an apostle named Paul, and he's writing to a group of people in a place called Ephesus. And in the second chapter of his letter that he writes to them, take a look at these words. It says, "We are God's workmanship." And that word workmanship this is kind of, you know, when something is written in one language and you translate it into another, it's sometimes hard to circle the wagons around the idea. The meaning doesn't change, but, you know, like the nuance does. And that word workmanship, it's sometimes if you look in a Bible, it'll be translated workmanship. Sometimes it'll be translated like craftsmanship or, masterpieces. I like that one. That's kind of like, it's got double meaning, like Bruno Mars, straight masterpieces, right? You are a straight masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor actually and tell him you're a masterpiece. Adam, this is a chance. Fellas, this is a chance to tell your wife she's a masterpiece. Don't miss it. Okay. So masterpiece, right? The word there actually, in the original language is this Greek word poema. It's where we get our word poem, actually. And so I like that one because it's like your poetry in motion. So regardless of what you think when you look in the mirror and the person staring back at you and what they think of you, you are a masterpiece. You are poetry in motion. And you are designed by a designer, created by a creator, made by a maker with a distinct plan. And then, so he kind of continues, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this is this idea that, like, if you are a part of the household of faith, when you believe, when you are baptized in the waters, you know, like when you become a part of the kingdom of God, suddenly all of you is redeemed. All of your gifts, all of your heart, all of your ability, all of your personality, all of your experiences is now used by God for his good, his glory, his kingdom. That's this idea here, that you have, like, you're not an accident. And that, look, there's not just that you are, like, beautifully made to sit on a shelf. No, you have a function to you. You have an intent behind it. And then he continues, which God prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. And I love this idea that you walk in the, like, it's not just that he made you, but that he made plans because of you, that he looked at you and says, okay, you're going to be perfect for this and to go to this place and do this thing. And so he doesn't just make you, he makes plans for you to live out who you are. And you are budding and teeming and overflowing with purpose. Now you are budding and teeming and overflowing with purpose. When you look at this, you are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are filled with purpose that God has given you when he made you distinctly, fearfully, and wonderfully you. And this word purpose is really interesting to think about because you don't really see this in Scripture. But this word purpose is, this is more than like a feeling of meaning and fulfillment or contentment or something like that. It has a deeper foundation when you look in Scripture to another word. And this changes the way we think about purpose. And my favorite example of this is probably in Psalm 148. So if you open your Bible right to the middle, it's going to be really close to Psalm 148. And in Psalm 148, take a look at how he describes purpose. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. And he continues, praise the Lord from the earth, you great creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Praise the Lord. And you read that and you're like, okay, that's neat. Like, okay, it's poetic. But let me ask you, how does a cow praise God? Is he just being like hyperbole here? How does an inanimate object like a mountain praise God? He just said it. I get how angels can praise God, but how does snow that wasn't even supposed to happen, and you wake up this morning, you're like, oh, how does that praise God? It's just there. It goes back to our words, purpose. Actually, in verse 5, he talks about it. Take a look. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were fashioned, made, designs, created by a creator, a maker, an intelligent designer. They're made with a purpose. And check this out. Listen. When they do what he made them to do, he's praised. So when the lightning flashes, when the mountain towers over us and we look at it, it's God designing it to do what it does. And when we look at it, it should draw our focus into attention to a wonderful maker who did, wow, we should, wow. And it doesn't matter if it's a lightning bolt or a lightning bug or if it's you. When you do what you were made to do, you worship God. Not only is God praised, he's worshiped. You worship God when you do what you were made to do. You worship God when you do what you were made to do. Wow. See, I think, okay, if before we sat together here and I, you know, like we had this conversation, if I just asked you to define the word worship, like, and just like come up with a meaning of the word worship that, you know, could go in a dictionary and work outside of just the Christian context, what is worship? We would say something like it's, you know, sacred people doing a sacred thing in a sacred place, right? So like a Buddhist monk kisses a statue in a Buddhist temple, sacred person as a sacred thing in a sacred place. And that would work also for us. If I said, what is worship and how do we worship? You would say, oh, like we sing songs. And why is singing worship? Because you're doing what you were made to do. You were designed by God with the capacity and the ability to sing. Some of us better than others. But you were designed by God to make a joyful noise. And when you gather together with people and we do what we were designed to do, what we were made to do, God is worshiped. And refusing to sing is like the sun refusing to shine. You worship God when you do what you were made to do. So much is at stake with us figuring out our shape. This means like everything that you do. It's like moms, when you cut the crust off the bread, you're doing what you were made to do. That's worship. Accountants, when you balance a ledger and you make books clean and precise, you're worshiping God by crunching numbers because you're worshiping God by doing what you were made to do. Landscapers, when you pull weeds. Mechanics, when you fix cars. God is worshiped because you are like the cattle and the lightning and the mountains doing what you were designed to do. Eric Liddell, the Olympic runner, 1920-something Olympics or whatever, Chariots of Fire fame guy, that guy, dun, 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 that guy. Yeah. Here's a famous quote. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. Oh, it's so good. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. He's right. God like sprinkled him full of the ability to run. And when he runs, he feels God's pleasure. God is pleased and he feels fulfillment and praise and worship because he's doing what God made him to do. And it's true for you as well, my friends. And all of this places a really big question on us. A huge question. What are you made to do? This question should bother us. It should keep us up at night. We should be in a frenzy, a furious, wild goose chase trying to figure this out. Because worship is at stake. God's pleasure. So how do you figure this out? How do you figure it out? This morning when I left the house, I grabbed my toaster. If my kids were trying to make Pop-Tarts this morning, they were eating them cold. this toaster, was designed by somebody. Like the plastic and the metal and the screws didn't just kind of like, there was a windstorm and out came a toaster. Like someday we'll talk about creation, but like think about how complex we are and just like the idea that this could happen accidentally, come on. Okay, so this toaster though has a designer. What does a toaster do? Toasts, okay, thank you, right. But like, there's a designer who like analyzed the marketplace and saw a niche for a certain kind of toaster, this toaster. And so he made sketches. Then he made schematic designs and got a patent and then made prototypes and moldings and stuff and put it together. And the designer decided it should be white, not black, have a little curve to it, have two slots, not four, have a little button that says bagel. Right. Have a cord that's 2.5 feet long, not five. It's teeming with purpose and intent. It's designed. And then the designer, put his logo on here, or their logo. This is Kitchen Living. So this maker's mark, they stamped it with their logo. This is mine. I made this. And then there's a serial number. It's hard to see. 0414982066659. That's this toaster. Right here. That's this one. And you, okay, so like, imagine like you just like were an archaeologist and you discovered this and you like dug it up, or like you just, it magically appeared in your kitchen. You've never seen one before. The word toaster is not anywhere on here. It doesn't even say it on the bottom. Like it doesn't, right? And you could, by trial and error, try to figure out, what does this do? And you could put dirt in here and little seeds and have flowers and put it on your windowsill. You could, and just pop up flowers. You could put this on your desk and put stationery and envelopes in here if you wanted to. You could. You absolutely could, and it would sort it. Maybe you deduced, well, there's an outlet here, and you plug it in, and it's a space heater. And so, like, when you're cold, it's a space heater. And you could. You absolutely could. Or you could read the manual. Some of the guys are like, we don't read manuals, Chris. No, but I mean it. You could read the manual. You could consult with a designer and say, what is this for? And honestly, my friends, in this series, that's what we're doing. I don't want you to trial and error try to figure out what it is you're supposed to do in life. It's messy, it's awkward, it's cumbersome. It's slow, it's inefficient, and there's nothing worse than a life that's just off what it's supposed to be. Like, you're designed and made by God to be a mechanic, but you're a car salesman. You're close, but not quite. You smell the tires, you smell the oil, you hear the engine, but you're not quite who God made you to be. And so in this series, we're going to look at the manual. We're going to press in and talk to the designer about his intent, his purpose, his design for you. And it's so, so important. So much is at stake. I should probably talk about why we're doing this as a series too. Like, there's a couple of reasons. One's kind of personal. There's a verse in the Bible that really bothers me and keeps me up at night. And I mean this. It's also in this letter, Ephesians, and Paul's writing to the church, and he's writing to this whole church. And then here's what he says in chapter 4. Take a look. God made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So like, he made some people to be the leaders of the church. This is what God did. He made some to be these things. But they're in place, so something else happens. See, sometimes I think people are like, oh, we come to church and you're passive recipients. I do all the fun. We do all the professional stuff up here, and you guys receive whatever it is we do, and you guys are largely passive. You just sit and observe and watch and receive and go home. But we did all the work. We performed up here and we did our thing. But that's not what this says. He gave some to be leaders and pastors. Why? Verse 12, to equip the saints, you, to equip you to do the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. My job is not to do everything as a pastor, to pray all the prayers at all of the funerals, marry you, bury you, baptize you. You know. Like, that's important to do. But my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to leverage you, harness all the potential of you for the good and glory and growth of God's kingdom. That's to get you out. And okay, so here's the other reason we're doing this series, because if you're on the sidelines, that's our fault. There are needs. And as the ministry grows, we have growing needs. We do. We have growing needs as a ministry. And there's a temptation for us to reach out to the people we know. And that's like a diminishing return. Like this, and that's how the same five people end up serving on the altar team and the finance team and the hospitality team and the lawn care team. And like, it's the same person doing everything. It's because that's the person we know and we reached out to. And we have this database that we use for, you know, giving records and your address and mailings and all that kind of stuff. And in this database, we have the ability to search a term, to do a search query. We need a photographer for an event. And we type in the word photographer, and it could pull up a list of people who have the gift and the ability or the passion for photography. But we don't know what you're good at. We don't know what you're passionate about. We've never asked you. And so when we type photography, no results. And so we ask somebody who's really bad at photography to take a photo at a social, at an event. And then we're like, we can't even use this photo. Sorry, man. This is terrible. Your thumb's in the way. And like, we can't use it on Facebook or whatever. Right now, this morning, there are volunteers down the hall at kids ministry. And we need more volunteers for kids ministry. Tonight, we need volunteers for our youth ministry, with middle school and high school. And they're kids ice skating. And there's volunteers there, but we need more. Our counting team needs more counters. Our landscaping lawn care team, they need more people. We're about to put in better cameras and new lights. I'm really excited about that to improve the quality of our live stream. We need videographers. Anyone here have ability to do cameras? We need help with it. But how do we find out the potential and the talent that's sitting out there unless we give you an opportunity to tell us? And so what we're going to do for the next 5 weeks is we're going to have a profile, like an assessment for you guys. And every week we all have an opportunity based on what we talk about to tell us, how are you gifted in these areas? So we'll find out, what are your spiritual gifts? What is a spiritual gift, and how has God equipped you? And what is your heart? Like, who do you love? Why do you love it? What makes you angry? What social injustice keeps you up at night? What makes you just come alive where time just passes away and you realize hours pass because you were doing that thing? What abilities do you have where everyone looks at you and you're so good at it? And you're, how do you do that thing? And you do perfectly and quickly what takes us hours to do imperfectly. What's your personality and how does that play into all this? Introvert, extrovert, enneagrams, all that stuff. What are your experiences? Where do you work? I don't know what half of you do for a living. I don't have a clue. And so when we need somebody to help with, like, the finance team, I'm like, oh, wait, you're an accountant? Hey, have I got something for you? You know, like, but we don't know. And so in this series, we're going to ask you guys to help us discover you, and in the process for you to discover who God made you to be, so we can liberate you to live a life of purpose, to worship God by doing what you were made to do, and to feel His pleasure. So that's what we're going to be doing in this series as we get in shape. Let me pray for you. We'll get going with our day here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people in this room, the unique collection of gifts that are assembled here. I guess the first thing is we confess to you that we are sorry for squandering away for our talents, for not seizing the moment, for not being good stewards of what you've given to us. You've gifted us. We have passions and abilities, personality and experience. And I think also it's important that we thank you. Like, just imagining what it would be like to be a clone, to be, you know, standing in a long line of replicates, and to not have to be an accident, to be a mistake, to just lacking any type of purpose It's a terrifying thought. And so, God, we praise you and we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I pray that right now, every person in this room who struggles with a feeling of meaning, every person in this room who struggles with a sense of what am I supposed to do, that God, you would use today in this series to remind them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, teeming and bursting and overflowing with purpose, that you love them, you have a plan for them, and their life is not over. It's not an accident. So God, redeem us. Redeem us, Lord. And when we don't know what to say, sometimes the easiest thing to say is to just pray the words that you tell us to pray. And so we join our voices together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you guys please stand as we sing?